Welcome to ASME TechCast, bringing you the innovators, the innovations, and the issues that push the envelope of engineering. I'm Louise Poirier, Senior Editor at Mechanical Engineering Magazine. The space industry is reaching a pivotal moment in its history, with rapid growth across all sectors. To support that growth and to remain on the cutting edge of innovation, a strong, vibrant, and inclusive workforce is critical. A program called Space Workforce 2030 aims to ensure just that. Since its establishment in March 2022, this collaborative effort has grown to a consortium of 30 companies, all seeking to bring in a new generation of engineers that is more diverse and talented than ever. It will significantly increase the number of women and underrepresented groups, not only in the workforce, but across aerospace engineering programs and senior company leadership. To chat with me more about this, today we're joined by Via Van Loo, who is Principal Director of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion at the Aerospace Corporation, one of the many companies that has committed to the Space Workforce 2030 pledge. Via, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I am happy to be here.
To kick things off, could you tell us a little bit more about what you do at the Aerospace Corporation and how you became involved with Space Workforce 2030?
So the Aerospace Corporation is a nonprofit, federally funded research and development center that provides technical expertise and objective analysis to help solve the hardest problems facing the nation's space programs. So I am the principal director for our diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts. And I oversee a number of different areas to ensure that we are recruiting, employing, and retaining our diverse workforce with a rich background and perspectives that generate some of the best solutions. So I also co-chair our Executive Diversity Council that's chaired by our CEO, Steve Osakowitz, and we have a number of different initiatives that we scale across the organization that support our diversity efforts within recruitment, representation, retention, education and training, K-12 through STEM, as well as community outreach.
All right. Well, then let's talk a little bit more about the program itself. I know we've already kind of outlined the basic premise in our little intro here and what it hopes to accomplish. But what are some of the specific ways that, program leadership is helping companies like yours achieve these lofty goals?
So we have three different centers of excellence, and they align with the U.S. National Space Council commitment, Inspire, Prepare, as well as Employee. And underneath our K-12 level, we have combined efforts from all of our member companies, and we've actually surpassed our goal of reaching more than 5 million students through STEM outreach efforts. And we've been building off of that success. And also a part of that partnership was also the U.S., Girl Scouts. So we had a badge in a day this past April, and we hosted over 125 Girl Scouts at the Space Foundation's, headquarters, their Discovery Center in Colorado Springs. So that was like a great effort for our K-12 through STEM. And then also underneath our Prepare, which is our National Space Intern Program, we are also, doing a registration where we have a central touch point for students to be able to register on our platform to reach our space industry companies for an opportunity for internship. And so we actually welcomed students this past summer into this program, and we had a successful, launch. And then also on the university front, we partner with the Aerospace Department Chair Association, ACCA, and they provide their metrics related to women, people of color that are pursuing and obtaining aerospace engineering degrees. And so we also included their metrics in our Space Workforce 2030 annual report as well. And then lastly, but not least, we have our Employee Center of Excellence. And that's where our member companies come together to share best practices and to help one another to make sure that we're making progress on our goals.
Fantastic. Now, you know, with 30 companies participating in this program, you know, what are some other ways that these companies are, you know, supporting one another to help reach the goals of Space Workforce 2030?
I'm really proud of all the companies that are participating, you know, within this program. They have been just transparent. They're just open, sharing their data. That is the most important, you know, commitment that they made, and they came together to be able to provide their data so that we can build data to track our progress, you know, toward our commitments. So most importantly, that's to guide and to focus our efforts for the coming year. But then they've also been, you know, transparent with sharing best practices to be able to help one another to ensure that they are, you know, making measurable goals that are also going to impact our pledge and our commitment to ensure our progress toward the end of the year.
Awesome. Awesome. Now, something I always like to ask about are the challenges, because we all want to know what kinds of difficulties you guys are overcoming, right? So, you know, what are some of the challenges the program has encountered during its first year, and how are you guys working through those?
We've had challenges. You know, our first year, you know, we started the program, and it was really led by our CEO, Steve Isakowitz. You know, he wanted to be able to work with our member companies because we're all sharing the same pool. And we knew that one company could not do it alone. We needed to have a collective effort coordinated within the space industry in order to really get this done. And so we started to develop the pledge and what our commitment would be. And going just through the process, working with all the member companies, trying to identify the pledge and just making sure that the efforts were all going to be actionable. All the CEOs and the executives from the space industry, they physically signed the pledge. And they didn't just want to sign a pledge, just making a commitment without any efforts, without adding value. They wanted to make sure that this pledge was going to show some results. And so we had to build that in, working with each of the member companies, identifying what their, you know, needs were to ensure that it was aligned, and we were able to build out a pledge of commitment that everyone agreed to. So that was like some of the challenges early on. And then we built in the accountability. And so that's how we were able to get it done, because we wanted to make sure that we held ourselves accountable. And one of the ways that we have done that is utilizing the Space Foundation Space Symposium to go back annually and publicly share our progress on our commitments and how we're doing. And so we shared our first annual report at this past Space Symposium last April, and we are looking forward to attending the Space Symposium this coming April to, you know, share our progress and the efforts and the actions and accomplishments that we've made so far.
Fantastic. Now, I know we always like to hear about success stories. So, you know, I know the program's not very old, but still, can you give us an example of some individuals who have participated so far, and, you know, the achievements they've made, and, you know, sort of the impact they've had to date?
So we've had a number of different individuals that have, you know, just really took this program and have shown excitement and enthusiasm, you know, around this program to really make it successful. And, you know, a part of that, something that I saw and experienced, was the National Space Internship Program. And that was a way that helped the students to, you know, build their network and also build a sense of community. And one of the ways that we supported this was we had an aerospace summer games this past summer, where aerospace companies came together to participate in different events and activities and friendship, you know, competition, really to build that sense of, community space workforce 2030 interns were also present. So they were identified by wearing a headband, a space workforce headband. And so when they saw each other, they were cheering each other. So not only were they cheering for their own individual company within these games, but when they saw another member of space workforce, they were also cheering them on as well. And they were able to, meet each other, continue to, build their network on an informal playing field, having that sense of community and also that support, building friendship. It was just wonderful to actually see it unfold and just organically. And I was just proud to be a part of that and interacting with the students and also participating in the summer games.
That's awesome. So now as we have, I guess it's the second anniversary, right, of the program coming up, second year anniversary, rather. where do you guys go from here? Any exciting plans or opportunities in the near future?
We are, continuing to build out initiatives for Space Workforce 2030, really within our partnership with the Aerospace Department Chair Association. So we are continuing to develop new ways to engage aerospace engineering majors, as well as minors at historical Black colleges and universities. We're also, utilizing, this as a new networking opportunity for diverse engineering professors too. So we have more to come there. But then also with our National Space Intern Program, we are hosting a virtual networking event. So this is going to be an invitation to students to, like a career fair, to come meet our partner companies and to have an opportunity to be considered for an internship program. So this is another example of the space industry coming together and sharing an applicant pool of talent to build up within their organization, and also to help improve the technical workforce, underrepresented groups and women, to also, continue our progress with our commitment.
Fantastic. One last thing I'd like to ask is, for those people who aren't yet involved with a program like this, or, engineering companies out there, practicing engineers, even other student engineers, what can they do from their from where they are in the industry at the moment to help ensure diversity and inclusion in this industry?
Thank you for that question. There's a lot that still need to be done. And it starts with K-12. Making sure that our students have a connection and they are not dropping out of STEM at an early age. Through research, we see that, students are dropping out from third grade to fifth grade. And so building mentoring relationships with students, we have some of our aerospace engineers volunteering at K-12 classrooms, sharing curriculum with teachers, also, participating in science competition, helping students to be able to, develop their interests and be that support, but then also going into, colleges and universities with the interns. As you have interns onboarding the organization, volunteer to be a mentor, volunteer to be a sponsor, to be able to help that student to transition within your organization. Participate in an employee resource group. Also, contribute, within the initiatives as far as sharing your job postings within your LinkedIn world to be able to generate, candidates into your organization, applicant pool. So there's a number of different ways that we encourage individuals to participate, to get involved. But then also we have our National Space Internship Program that's open for registration. Invite some students to log on and to register so that they can be considered for one of our partner companies' internship programs that's coming up this summer.
That sounds great. Looking forward to hearing more about their accomplishments as we move ahead. So I guess we'll have to call it there. Thank you so much for joining us today, Via.
Thank you for having me.
To learn more about Space Workforce 2030 and to get involved, visit swf2030.org. And if you'd like to hear more great conversations on a wide range of engineering topics, please subscribe to ASME TechCast on your podcast platform of choice. I'm Louise Poirier. Thanks so much for listening.